Yeah, so sorry for this long title. As you might expect from this long title, I will talk pretty much about point cloud multiplication, give some recall about Yaw's exponential algorithm, double-based number system. Oh, and then I will finally show how to put this all together to obtain a faster algorithm and give some comparisons. So I will be quick on this one. So we only in this talk we only deal with elliptic curve defined over finite fields. In fact, it's even more than that. It's just elliptic curve defined over prime fields. So the set of points satisfying this kind of equation. And what we call point scalar multiplication is just considering p a point on the curve and k an integer. We compute k times p, which is p plus p plus p k times. And our goal is to perform this as fast as possible. To do this, we have already in the literature a lot of critical and efficient techniques. So the most common one is what we call the double and add. It just consists of considering k in its binary representation. So each time you get a 1, you perform a doubling and an addition, and if you get a 0, just a doubling. So that's so here we have a 1, so we perform doubling plus addition, just doubling, doubling plus addition. So that's a very classical method. To improve this, we have the main idea is to authorize the ki's here to belong to a larger set of digits than just 0 and 1. So basically, if we authorize a ki to belong to minus 1, 0, and 1, which means we authorize signed representations, then we can get more sparse representation than the previous one at the cost of at most one more doubling. So we see that we decrease the number of addition, but we just increase by 1 the number of doubling in the worst case. And of course, it's possible to generalize this approach by authorizing the ki's to belong to a larger set. So here, we all the ki's are lower than to the w minus 1. And in that case, we obtain even more sparse representation. And in all cases, the exponentiation is done by successive doublings and sometimes some additions. But of course, when we authorize a larger set of digits, we have to perform first some precomputation. As an example here, before doing this operation, this series of doubling and addition, we have to precompute 3 times p. So that's one way to perform scalar multiplication. There's another way, which is less common, less popular, but equivalent in terms of number of operation. It's an algorithm from Yao during the 70s called Yao's algorithm. So it is based on the same kind of representation. So the ki's belong to a certain set of integers. But instead of performing doublings and additions, first we perform all the doublings and then we will perform some additions. It's equivalent to rewrite this this number as the following. We will sum all the power of 2 associated with digit 1. Then we compute the sum of all the power of 2 associated to digit 3, etc. for all the digits in the set. So I'll give an example to make it maybe clearer. So if we consider these integers, one of its representation is this one. So how the algorithm works, we will compute successive powers of 2, I mean powers of 2 times p, and add it to the corresponding data. So as an example, we start with p, which is the power of 0. So the power of 0 is associated to digit 7, so we add p to d7. Then, after several doublings, we obtain 2 to the 3 times p, which is associated to digit 5. So we add 2 to the 3 times p to d5, etc. Then we obtain 2 to the 8, which is associated to digit 3. So we add it to d3. The same with 2 to the 11. 2 to the 14 is, again, associated to digit 3, so that we add 2 to the 14 to 2 to the 8, and the same with 2 to the 18. And in the end, what we need is just to compute the following operation to finish the scalar multiplication. Because here we know that P is in our, 1 is associated to digit 7. So in the end, we have to multiply this quantity by 7 to obtain the right number. The same for here. 2 to the 3 here is associated to 5. So in the end, the real point we need is 5 times 2 to the 3, etc. And if it's computed, if you compute this using the right method, it requires as much operation as the previous methods. So now I will talk about the double base number system. So we have used up to now pretty much a binary representation, and we have just changed the set of digits, of the authorized digits. Recently, a new kind of representation has been introduced in the case of scalar multiplication. In that case, instead of writing an integer as a sum of power of 2, we write it as a sum of power of 2 and power of some power of 3. So the main advantage of such representations is that there is a high number of them for one given integer, and among all of them, some of them are very sparse, and that's what we were looking for in the previous method, to get the most sparse representation as possible. So as an example, we can see that this huge number, which is more than 1,000 billions, is the smallest that requires 7 summons, which means that all the integers smaller than this one can be written as a sum of 6 numbers. So it's really, really sparse, and that's why it was introduced. But the problem is that this general representation was not considered as very efficient for scalar multiplication purposes, mainly because what we wanted is to be able to perform some Horner scheme. Just like in the previous method, what we wanted to do is to perform succession of doubling and triplings plus addition, doubling and tripling plus additions. That's why has been introduced sometime later the concept of double base chains. So it's exactly what I said. We want to have a double base number system, a double base representation allowing this kind of Horner scheme. So here is just a formal definition, but in practice, how does it work? We want the powers of our representation, the power of 2 and 3, to be decreasing sequences, so that it's possible to do this kind of factorization, and then perform a Horner scheme. Here we just compute 4 doublings and 2 triplings, then we add P, perform some more doubling and tripling, add P, and we have computed the scalar multiplications. Recently introduced and was quite efficient. From this method, we have reached, result as fast as with the previous WNF methods. What we can do, so it was in the double base chain was introduced because we want to use double base number system just like the classical binary representation. A basic idea could be that, okay, we have the double NF kind of algorithm, why not try to use the Yao algorithm with this same representation? And that's exactly what we will do now. So in this case, we come back to the general representation. We don't need any constraint about the fact that the BIs and the TIs are part of the decreasing sequences. And we do pretty much the same as we see before, which means here we will compute all the doublings at the beginning, and we will add all the power of 2 that are multiplied by the same power of 3. As an example here, we will sum all the power of 2 which are multiplied by 1. Here, all the power of 2 which are multiplied by 3, by 3 squared, etc. So with the same kind of example as previously, if we consider the same k with this representation, and we perform several doublings, we will first compute p. So p is associated, which is 2 to the 0 p, is associated to 3 square, so we add p to d2. Then comes 2p, which is associated to 3 to 0, so we add 2p to 0, to d0, and etc. 2 square is associated to 3 square, so we add 2 square to d2, and so on to the 8. And finally, we can see that 2 to the 10 is associated to both 3, 1, and 3 to the 5, so we add this to d1 and d5. So once we have done this, we can simply, to end the scalar multiplication, we just have to compute this, 3 to the 5 d5p plus 3 squared d2p, etc., which can be done with a very simple triple and add algorithms. So the main interest of this way to compute scalar multiplication with double Bayes number system is that so first we have to set some maximum bounds to be efficient, but after this it's quite less restrictive than the double Bayes chain approach, because except from the general bound, which is just a maximum bound, we do not require B and T to be decreasing sequences. So in practice what happens is that we have pretty much the same number of doubling and triplings, but a lower number of additions, and that's where we expect what we expect to be the cause of our improvement. So if we go deeper into the implementation process, we can also have some gain from some very basic tricks. So usually we have a point P on the curve defined in a curve in Jacobian coordinates, which means it's represented by x, y, and z. A classical way to save some operation is that computing the sum of p and another point requires the computation of z square and z cube. So if we store these results, then it's possible to save one square and one multiplication in case p is added again later in the algorithm to another point. In our case, we have one more possibility. Is because when a point is doubled, it requires the computation of this square. So it's still possible to store this one and then decrease a new addition involving p. I have to this operation, this case, doesn't happen in the usual double and add process, because once a point has been doubled, we get rid of it. We just add something to the if we double p, we add something to 2p, but not 2p. I'm pretty sure this is not clear at all, but no, I mean, if we compute p and then 2 times p, p won't be used anymore, because if we had something, we will add it to 2 times p. So in that case, we can consider different kind of operations. So the most important one is this one we call d-add, which means that we are adding a point to another point that has been doubled before. But so there are plenty of this kind of particular operation. So we have doubling, adding two numbers that have been doubled, some have been re-added, some are in z-coordinate equal to 1. There's plenty of this that we can consider to do some saving, so storing some data and saving during those operations. In fact, which is funny, is that we can see that, so here is the cost on different shapes of elliptic curves of those operations, and here is the classical addition, the basic one. We can see that in fact in a lot of cases it doesn't save anything, because the operation does not require those z square or z cube computation. In other cases it might save some squares or not. So now what we have done from this algorithm, that we have performed some tests to see how it behaves. So we did this test on 160-bit scalars. So what we have done is that for all possible values of bmax and tmax, such as 2 to the bmax and 3 to the tmax is 160-bit integers, we have generated 1,000 integers, scalars, converted all those integers to DBNS representation and then perform the scalar multiplication and counted all the previous how many operation are used. So next slide should show the these tables. So of course, as we can expect, what happened is that we have a lot of doubling and triplings, and the only the only really interesting thing from this table is that we can see that we don't have that much addition, but a lot of them are de-additions, which means addition after a squaring, which could make a thing that it could be interesting to redesign the additions formula so that maybe this addition is quite, is more expensive, but that it becomes faster when the point has been doubled. But that's just a general idea. I haven't tried it yet. So finally, what we do is that we consider all those operation counts, and we replace all the operation by the cost in terms of field multiplications to obtain something more useful for comparisons. So here we compare our work to the optimized double base chain methods and also to the very recent multi-base methods. And we can see that in almost all cases we perform quite good. We have better results than all the previous methods except on Jacobian coordinates, in which case the multi-base method is a little bit faster. And also in that particular case we can see a tremendous we can see a huge difference. It's all also caused by the fact that in that case new formulas have been proposed for the doubling, which would save something around 40 and 50 multiplications. I tried all the possible Bmax and Tmax, perform 1,000 tests, and then compare to all the previous BMAC, B and T values, and keep the fastest one in terms of group operation. So in conclusion, what we have. Field operation in terms of field multiplication operation. The YaoDBNF algorithm is quite interesting because it goes back one step before. We were pretty much convinced that double base chains was the way to use double bases, but in fact we can see that the general form of double bases can be useful and actually faster. Of course, it do works with also other double number systems, so we can use of course double and quintupling, but also you can replace one of them by on characteristics 2 curves you can use the Frobenius map, you can also even use Fibonacci numbers, you have a great choice of double base systems. And of course the natural question that arises from this is that is it possible to use the Yao's approach for multi-base number system, that is not clear. And finally, does it work with multi-scalar multiplication? Not clear too. And that's it. Thank you very much.
Can you go back to your page 15 for a second? So you said you generated these integers and then you converted them into BDNF.
Yeah.
How did you do that? The three algorithm or
We use the greedy algorithm. I haven't talked about it in the talk. In that case, we are forced to use the greedy algorithm. In the case of double base chains, you can just do something like, if it's I divide by two as long as it's possible, then I divide by three, then